Thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You may be seated for the moment. Get my balance here. Amen. I noticed on the projection screen before church, a ladies' retreat, something about heart to heart. My heart's heavy tonight, but my head's empty. So maybe I should have been preaching at that ladies' retreat. Just kidding. Now, it's going to sound like when I get around to preaching tonight that I'm just riding on what everybody has said. But I came to this meeting with a message. Most of the notes that I'm going to use tonight I had long before I arrived in the state of Florida last Saturday. And it's just been a confirmation that God knows what He's doing. Amen. It is our privilege tonight to be here. I feel very honored to be preaching here. I'm over 50 years old and been pastoring for almost 20 years, and I still feel like a novice when I get in the presence of elders. And I hope I never lose that. I hope I'm Pop Bass's age and I still have that. I do. Because I know what this old flesh can do when it gets puffed up and gets out of shape. Amen. And I want to tell Pastor, Sister Bass, how much we love and appreciate them and appreciate their friendship. They've been to our home couple of times, been in our home and preached for us, and we appreciate their friendship and appreciate the opportunity to be here and get to know so many men from this region of our country. And I just love God tonight, and I want to obey the Lord tonight. And if you disagree with anything I have to say, take it up with him later. But I want to help all of us tonight. I want to help myself tonight. Amen. And I grew up in Latter Rain Pentecost. And I thank God for truth coming my way. I thank God for Pastor. There's three tonight that I don't want to embarrass in my delivery of the word of the Lord tonight. I don't want to embarrass God. I don't want to embarrass this fine pastor. And I don't want to embarrass my pastor. Great man of God. It's the reason why I am. Glad to have my wife and daughter with me tonight. And appreciate them. They've been a very positive part of helping us establish something for the kingdom of God. And I thank the Lord for that. Oh, my. You ever eat a real good hot dog? Now I'm talking about one of those guys that's not just that I'm talking about something that's really got something in it, like, you know, some good kind of a Polish dog, maybe got some sausage in it. We have a dividing of generations here tonight. We are so thankful to be here. Appreciated the word of the Lord. Last night's message and today's message was well worth our travel to be here. And I just hope that somehow I could add to that. I'm glad to see Elder Bass again. We get some good weather out west. We're going to have him come out there hopefully this summer. We're trying to get together a date and share him with our pastor, who is 37 miles away. But I want our church needs one good dose of him while he can still travel. Thankful for, you know, Brother Gross was preaching about they wasn't supposed to put an oxen and a donkey in the same yoke. But that is exactly what Pastor Bass has done today. He's the oxen. My. Oh, now you can have fun and really have go somewhere in the Holy Ghost at the same time. Amen. There's enough of those days that I've had to spend on my face crying out to God and looking for a smile somewhere. But I can be serious and laugh at the same time. Amen. It's good for the soul. Amen. And anything I say tonight, I don't want to by any means demean this sacred desk or anything like that. But we're going to have a good time, and we're going to end up at the right place with the help of the Lord tonight. If you would stand, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. A very familiar portion of Scripture. It's been quoted, I believe, during this meeting. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. The apostle is talking to his son in the faith, Timothy. He's told him that his time is come around. By the time we get to verse 7, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I have kept the faith. Anybody figured out what the fight is about? It's to keep the faith. That's what the fight's over. It's keeping faith. Because it's impossible to please God without it. The fight is over keeping your faith. Amen. God, we ask you to be in this place, oh God, in a very abundant way tonight. Your word is already blessed. But, oh God, bless the ears to hear, and God, give me the understanding of the ways of the Holy Ghost again one more time. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Ask you to walk up and down every aisle and every pew tonight. You know every several need in this house. We're going to give you all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Is he worthy? Let's give him a hand of applause. Hallelujah. Lord bless you. You may be seated. I would like to be conscious of the time tonight. But I want to read something to you. A year ago this week, we had planned to be here last year. And a year ago this week, my stepfather passed away. My good wife and my children helped me through the very end of setting up with him. And it was presented a flag because he was a World War II veteran. He was presented a flag at the graveside, and I put it away. And it wasn't until just a little while ago that I pulled it out and put it in an oak case that was designed for such. And when I did, a letter fell out of it that I did not know existed. But I want you to listen to this. Now, this is what the veterans of our area gave to our family, and I presume it must be maybe a national letter. I don't know where else they would have gotten it, but it shocked me what was in there. Says the tribute to our flag the ceremony of the folding the stars and stripes. The armed forces of our great nation, each morning at revelry, our flag is hoisted aloft to the top on its staff as a symbol of our belief in the resurrection of the body.
Yes,
sir. In the evening at retreat, a taps has been sounded. It is lowered and folded in a triangle fold as tribute to our nation's honored dead. The first fold in our flag is a symbol of life. The second fold is a symbol of our belief in eternal life. The third fold is made in honor and remembrance of the veteran who gave a portion of his or her life in defense of our country. The fourth fold represents our weaker nature and our faith in a living God, for it is to Him we turn in times of peace as well as in the times of war. The fifth fold is a tribute to our country. In the words of the immortal Stephen Decatur, who said, "Our country, may she always be right in dealing with other countries, but right or wrong, she is still our country." The sixth fold is where our hearts lie, for it is with our hearts that we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The seventh fold is a tribute to our armed forces. It is through the strength that our country and our flag is protected against her enemies, whether they are found within or without the boundaries of our republic. The eighth fold is a tribute to those who entered into the valley of the shadow of death that we might see the light. The ninth fold is a tribute to womanhood, for it has been through their faith, love, devotion, and loyalty that the characters of those men who helped shape the destiny of this republic were molded. The tenth fold is a tribute to Father, for he too has given of his sons for the defense of our nation. We fold from the stripes toward the stars. For whereas the stripes represent the 13 original colonies, they are now embodied in the 50 sovereign states represented by the stars. The 11th fold is for the eyes of the Hebrew citizen. I'm telling you, this is in our veterans program. It's for the eyes of the Hebrew citizen. This represents the lower portion of the seal of King David, King Solomon, and glorify in their eyes the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The 12th fold is for the eyes of the Christian citizen, represents the emblem of eternity, and glorifies in their eyes the God, the Eternal Father. Oh my. They've got it mixed up just a little bit here when they're talking about the God, the Eternal Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful that we know the truth about such. The 13th fold is a reminder to all of us, the sacrifice, the suffering, the bloodshed by those of the original 13 colonies who never gave up hope nor courage for the day they would be free from the yoke of tyranny imposed upon them by their mother country. The flag now takes on the appearance of a cocked hat, ever reminding us of the soldiers who served under General George Washington, the sailors and the Marines who served under Captain John Paul Jones. They followed, they were followed by their comrades and shipmates down through the years and have preserved for us the rights, the privileges, and the freedoms which we enjoy today. It is the duty and obligation of every American to uphold, defend, and preserve the stars and the stripes. Old Glory, our flag. Shocked me when I pulled that out of that flag and saw that there. Oh my, when we stop to see the things that have gone on before. If I could use a little subject tonight, I'd like to preach on spiritual conscientious objectors. Now, you know, we have stood as a apostolic movement for years and with the opinion of being conscientious objectors. We have, and we have our reasons for that. But in spiritual mode, and let me stop for just a moment. I don't believe there's a man in the house that really has good old red blood in him that would come in and find a man, an animal, if you will, molesting one of ours, that would not go at any length to remodel his anatomy.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Whether it be all the way from my wife, even generation before that, my mother-in-law, my mother, my wife, my daughter, daughter-in-law, granddaughter, if I came in and there was somebody abusing these, I would go at whatever length it took to take care of them. Now, if you hold me at, and are at odds with me for that, Lord bless you. You have the right to be wrong. Just about like if you're a Democrat, you have the right to be wrong. My. He's a good God. Hey, I have copious notes here tonight, but I might as well just throw them away. Because I don't get around to them anyway. It's so good to be with Brother Lambeth. I've been wanting to meet him for years. We needed another missionary that we could feel comfortable with. Amen. And good to be with my little chubby friend down the road from where I was born. Oh, my. He's a good God. Amen. He's a good God. You go back into wars, and probably the one that I have studied the most, because I chose on purpose to stay out of the Confederate and Union War called the Civil War, but I was corrected up in Greensboro, North Carolina, just a few years ago by a park ranger when I was at Guilford Courthouse Battleground, and one of the rangers there, I asked them if, you know, I said, now, you know, I thought this was the Civil War, but you're telling me this is of the Revolutionary War. She corrected me very fast. She said, sir, the war of the 1860s was not a civil war. It was nation against nation. But during that little discussion with her, I began to ask her, as we had seen a little slide presentation that said that Cornwallis, I believe it was the British general that took great whipping at the Guilford Courthouse Battleground during the Revolutionary War. And he suffered a lot of casualties and lost a lot of momentum. But at the end of the day, he was declared the victor.
All right.
And I thought, my goodness, he was fighting Green of the Revolutionary Army, and Green's boys forevermore whooped up on him and trying to figure out how was he declared the winner. She said, it's like this. Whoever holds the battleground at the end of the battle is declared the winner. I've only preached this out one other time away from home, and I suffered a little bit of inquiry about it because somebody thought maybe I was very militia oriented in this. But I'm telling you, if you're going to survive spiritually, it's already been mentioned in this meeting about the war that we're in, the battle that we're in. We're in a battle. And we understand that we wrestle not with flesh and blood. And we'll get to that scripture, Lord willing, in a little bit. But we're living in a day that somebody has got to, and if you'll pardon my vernacular tonight, but somebody, hell, there's got to have some guts. We need somebody that's got a backbone that will stand up. Because what we're fighting over is the battlefield between God and the devil is between your ears. That's where it's at. Whoever holds the battleground when the battle is over is going to be declared the winner. Oh my, we might as well go there right now. Let's go to the book of, that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God for His goodness. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. They are mighty through God. What? To the pulling down of strongholds. The casting down of what? Imaginations. Some people's imagination gets away with them. Your imagination's between your ears. That's where the problem is at. That's where the war is being fought tonight. Oh, God help us. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Where do you have knowledge at? Right here between your ears. And that's what the devil's after, is the knowledge of God. He's trying to destroy what we know. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We thank God that we're not going to go out and kill somebody tonight. That's not what we're talking about. But let me run something by you, if I could get to this pile of things that I'm not going to use tonight. In our Bible, the term fight, war, or wars, or battle, is in there 523 times, if I count correctly. It's there a while. Old Testament physical battles are the types and the shadows of our spiritual battles today. Are they not, Elder? Oh, my. And for somebody to say, well, no, I'm on the side of love. Well, let me tell you something. You go search the book of Acts and try to find the word love in there one time. It's not there. It's not there. I thank God for love. I thank God for Calvary. I thank God for everything. I thank God for everything. I'm not trying to throw anything. But we've come down to a point. We're going to have to put on some fighting armor. And we could go there to Ephesians chapter 6. Well, let's go there real fast. I know I'm trying to be conscious of the time tonight, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Truth. Truth is a part of our armor tonight. Well, thank God. He's still good. Having the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, I would think that he's saying that's the most important thing we can have in this war. Above all, taking the shield of faith. The Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about. If the devil can get, if the adversary of our soul can get our shield, then he can do anything he wants to do. If he can take our faith away, he can do anything. Oh, the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. That's what's going to cover the battleground. Is the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's go real fast to the book of Judges, chapter 8. Pardon me for using so many scriptures tonight, but there's some things here that we must look at. Chapter 8 of the book of Judges, and let's jump in around verse 18. This is where Gideon is chasing down the Midianite kings, and he catches them. Their names, if I believe, is Zeba and Zalmunna. What manner of men? He asked these two kings of the Midianites, I believe it was. He said, what kind of men? Those men that you slew at Tabor, what kind of men were they? And they answered, as thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, they were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if you had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. Oh my, then Zeba and Zalmunna said, rise thou and fall upon us, for as a man is, so is his strength. And Gideon rose up and slew Zeba and Zalmunna, and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. I'm telling you something. I've lost too many families to false doctrine. I've lost too many of my personal. I have two brothers tonight that are singing in Trinitarian choirs that grew up on the same pews that I grew up. I'm telling you, that's the reason why there may be some young people here tonight. They don't have the guts, if you will, to do it on their own. But it's going to take some parents that remembers what the adversary has done to your family. That daddy's going to step up and lop off the head of some spirits. Oh, God. I would to God that there was some parents that would get in with the ox. Some daddies that had said, youngin, get back to that room and get some different clothes on. We're going to the house of God. Yeah. Now, I understand something, that in this day that we're living, it may be kind of hard to find apostolic clothes at some places. And I realize that some of us are pleasingly plump the closer we get to middle age. I'm doing my best. I walked my 2 miles on the treadmill this afternoon. I'm trying to get down, especially when those guys around my age are starting to have heart attacks. I want to live to raise a grandbaby a little while longer and be a part of the kingdom of God. I want to do better. But you know what? There just came a day I had to go find something bigger to wear. I told the ladies at our church, if we can't find it in the stores, we're going to hire us a full-time seamstress and make us some apostolic clothes. Understand that things may get a little tight and we're up and down and we can't keep a revolving wardrobe enough, but I'm telling you, we're living in a day that somebody needs to say, get that neckline up. There needs to be praise the name of the Lord. There needs to be some. I'm talking about, there's too many conscientious objectors in the kingdom of God today. That means you will not take up arms. I think it's time spiritually for us to take up some arms. Get in the prayer room. Put your way from the table and seek the face of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. We're living in a day. We're living in a day, an hour. We might as well. Here, you keep these real safe for me. Oh, God. Hallelujah. He's a good God. I don't know why I should have tried to preach any different here than I do at home. It's nice to walk up the platform and tell some of the young men here, you can have the notes of tonight, and it's a blank 3x5 card. Oh, God. But we're living in this day. I could recite for you so much of Ambrose, of World War II. We're living in a day that when Hitler had to send 500 men that knew English, and they captured some American uniforms, and they headed out across the front when they were being beaten in the war. This was in the fall of 1944, and they headed west, and they had on American uniforms. They could speak the language. They were turning signposts around. I'm telling you what the brother was talking about tonight. The next generation needs to be able to read the signposts. We've got something that has slipped in to apostolic churches today. They've been turning the signposts. They've been speaking things. They've got the uniform, it looks like, but they don't have what it takes to win for righteousness. Praise the name. We're fighting it, Brother Bass. I'm telling you, we're fighting it. I called home and talked to my daddy just a few days ago. He goes to a church across the river. And they told me that a couple of our young teenage girls who had just ran away from our church, ran away from their parents. Their parents are still in our church. The grandmother of one of these young ladies took them to this church. Hallelujah. She's trying to tear down the authority. Trying to tear down the authority of the home. Saying her son-in-law had kicked the girl out. When in truth the girl had climbed out through the bedroom window. Why? Because the mom and dad put their foot down and said, you ain't living like that here. Well, praise the name of the Lord. Anyhow, somebody don't like how mean the drill sergeant is in boot camp on the parade ground. But I'm telling you, what he's trying to do is teach a young man how to survive the war, how to get through the battle without being a casualty. Young people, you may not like what your pastor's doing today, but what he's trying to do is teach you something on the drill field. He's trying to let you know if you're going to make it through this, if you're going to survive, you got to keep your head down. You got to keep your head out of the clouds because the enemy would like to destroy your faith. the name of the Lord. Well, he's a good God. He's a good God. The Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight and I kept the faith. I'm telling you, my older brother and I, we did enough fighting during our teenage years and into our early adulthood. We knew what it was like. I went with that crazy bum so many times that we had to literally fight our ways out of something we'd get into because he couldn't keep his mouth shut. Oh, God. And there came a day he looked me in the eye and he said, you know what? I'm tired of exchanging punches with my opponent. He said, I think I'm going to start fighting to win. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of exchanging punches with the adversary. The Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Then you're going to be days it takes a good fight. But a conscientious objector. Now, I took out some letters just a few days ago. I have a brother-in-law that was killed in Vietnam March 26th of 1968. His body was buried 3 miles to the east of our house. Beside him is three little babies that did not live either past birth or not long after birth. And at the end of those three babies is my sister that did not live past 46 years old. Oh, God. I had her in church the last time she was in church 8 days before where she was found dead. And I said that I was glad to have you tonight, sis. And I wish you'd obey the preaching. And when the service was over, she broke to run. I run around the opposite side of the building and caught her at the back door and held her in my arms. And I said, sis, I meant every word that I said to you tonight. I love you and I want to see you saved. 8 days later, we found her popping her sheet out over her bed. And fell dead with an aneurysm at the base of her brain. I'm telling you, when I go to that cemetery and see some of my family, I see my brother-in-law that lost his life in Vietnam. And recently I read his letters of what was going on. He said, it is so confusing over here. We really don't know who the enemy is. Send him home in a glass-covered box. So hard for a young teenage boy for me to take, to stand there and look at my childhood hero. I preached his mother's funeral not long ago, ungodly woman. But in honor of the family, I did so. And the only thing I could say at that funeral was to the deceased, thank you for providing me with a childhood hero. A lot of people been wiped out in a war that they did not even understand. A war that they did not. I'm telling you, whether you like it or not, you're sitting here tonight. If you don't comprehend, you're still in a war. If you don't like what President Bush is doing in Iraq, you know, we may not agree with him on every point, but for the sake of those boys that are over there fighting, I want to say, go for it, boys. Hey, man, excuse me if I get a little bit tweaked and out of place, but I've been there. But we've got, use vernacular, but we got idiots in Washington. You may criticize me for packing my two friends with me when I'm home, Mr. Smith and Mr. Wesson. Both sheriffs of both counties have admonished me, please carry it. We know where you go. We know the druggies you're dealing with. I don't want to become a militia nut like those guys up in North Idaho. Don't think down the south part of the state. We're like those guys up there. We comb our hair. We're not skinheads. But I want to tell you something. My handguns killed less people than Ted Kennedy's car. We're not socialistic here in this country yet. You folks out in California are slipping fast. You keep sending those she-devils to Washington.
Now we're preaching.
Oh! But I get so... I listened to Fox the other day and listened to some of those guys criticize a judge over abortion. To think that those guys have risen to the top. Politics can do anything. Reality has a little better chance of being real. Amen. I'm headed to an end here tonight that's going to help somebody if you'll just stay. Please don't let me turn you off by any speech that may be undesirable to you. I'm telling you something like this letter I read tonight. This old country that we enjoy. Now, I realize there's some of you Canadians here, but you might as well understand that if it wasn't for us being what we are, you wouldn't be what you are. So just mellow out. I may not have made any friends there, but I'm just telling you a story. You get your turn tomorrow. Oh my, I'm not trying to offend anybody here tonight, but I'm telling you, it felt like when we made up our mind we was going to go get Saddam, Germany and France turned on us. I like what Brother Bass said a couple years ago. He said, if those French only knew, if it wasn't for us, their national language would be German. I'm telling you, there's some liberals that don't like the apostolic pulpit of standing up and saying how it really is. But if there wasn't some elders like this one that's preached the same thing down through the years, we wouldn't have what we have today. My wife has family that grew up in the same apostolic church that she was born in. Her daddy was 75 years old, was born and raised in the same church. And she has family members that were 50 years old and the first place they went as a baby was to that church. Today, they go to Trinitarian churches. They've married off into Trinitarian churches. Their babies will never know this apostolic truth. I'm not talking about hearsay. I'm not talking about somebody that I don't know. I'm talking about family members. Oh God. Somebody got to fight. But the thing of it is you've got to know when to fight. And you got to know how to fight. If you turn to 2 Samuel tonight, we've gone through all of this to get here. Pastor Bass, forgive me if I've embarrassed you tonight. God, you forgive me. But this is where we're at. I'm telling you something. I'm sick and tired of raising babies up to teenage years. Holding marriages together and them go to the world. Brother Groves, I'm going to take that CD home and play it to our entire church. I want somebody to help the ox out. I want somebody to help the ox out. I want some parents to get in this thing. Oh, dear God. Two teenage girls that have walked out on God just recently. Oh, their parents now all of a sudden are serious. But if I could have gotten their parents serious 3 years ago, 5 years, if I could have got them not to be a conscientious objector. Come on, Mama. Come on, Daddy. Help the ox fight. Second Samuel, chapter 5. We're going to end with this tonight because this is going to help somebody in this house tonight. Verse 22. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come up on them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be when thou hearest a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee and smite the Philistines." And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Gibeah until come to Gezer. I was alone in my office several years ago. I believe I talked to you about this, Brother Bass, some time ago. But I was alone in my office, and I was fighting something, and I was up to my eyebrows in trouble. And God gave me this scripture and just said, "What's a mulberry tree?" I peeled out my old Strongs and began to dig. And this mulberry tree is a balsam tree. Do you know where they get balm at? From a balsam tree. Where the balm or the balsam trees were plenteous, they said that's where the nature paths and doctors hung out their shingle. We've talked about this tonight. We've talked about how we need to really fight. We need to hold on to the faith. We need to do everything that Scripture admonishes us to do. There's somebody in this house tonight. This is applicable for you in closing this message tonight. You need some healing. You've been fighting a battle, and you're sore, and you're tired. The boys at the end of the Battle of the Bulge, at the turn of the year between 1944 and 1945, they were fighting it out on the ground, but it was overcast. The United Forces had an excess of 10,000 planes that they could be flying. Germany had 570-some. The Allied forces could not fly because it was overcast. But there came a day when the clouds cleared. And there was excitement because then could come the B-17s. Then could come the 24s. Then could come the fighters. Then could come the assistance from above. What a breakthrough. What God was telling David here, you've been fighting this battle head on so long. But I want you to compass around. And I want you to come at this one from the healing side. I want you to put a little balm. Is there no balm in Gilead? I want you to put some balm in this battle. Brother Lambeth, there's some battles we've been fighting as ministers. I believe at this meeting right now, yeah, we can go home and we can be renewed for the battle. But I need some healing in my battle tonight. I need the winds. I need some atmospheric changes and some clouds to move away. And there to be some support from up there. They said that those soldiers that began to hear the sounds of those propellers coming in from those B-17s and 24s, they began to shout in the foxholes. They began to jump up and down. They were so excited. Here it comes. Here comes some help. I believe we're right now in the fight for faith tonight at this conference right here. God would like somebody to go home with some healing. If you're a minister here tonight, if you're a minister's wife, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You may be having revival. I'm sorry to say, in Burley, we're not. We're fighting the powers of hell. I fought everything from my health to the devil coming right down to my own household and trying to destroy my ministry in this last year. There's days that I've looked up and said, God, don't you even care? The devil's been working on my faith. He's been trying to destroy that between my ears. The only other place I know I've preached this was at Brother Ron Garrett's camp 3 or 4 years ago. And I went home and like I literally lost my mind. Driving down the road. Had a very slight stroke, but I knew what was going on. I drove straight to the doctor's office. It was pressure. It was pressure. It was pressure. There was things. Oh, God. Brother Robert Davis was preaching for us. He was in the pulpit that Sunday morning. He's turned around and slapped his hand on my head, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord. I am going to take care of your situation. Not in months, not in weeks, but in days. In 7 days, God had done such a miraculous work." God still knows where we're at tonight. Heaven still knows where we're at. Heaven knew where David was at. He said, "But David, I want you to do something now. This is one battle. You just come at it from the healing side. Put some balm in this one." Does anybody need any balm in your war right now? The musicians have come. Is there anybody tonight that feels like you need some? You need the balm of Gilead. There was an abundance of balm in Gilead. We're fighting a war. We're going through it. I'm telling you, we are. Let's don't become conscientious objectors and just sit back. We need to fight like we've never fought before. For the faith. Contend for the faith, the Bible says. Contend for the faith. I need some balm poured in to my battle tonight. It's been long enough. I need to come at this battle from the healing side.